Let's open our Bibles today to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to pick up where we left off a couple of weeks ago on the subject, the power of the Spirit. Now, we're focusing primarily on the manifestations of the Holy Spirit from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We had studied being filled with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and now we're talking about the power of the Spirit. And I had, as I was praying over this in preparation, I had the Lord keep bringing something up to me in my study time. And it's the scripture that says, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And it kept coming as I was meditating and praying. It kept coming up in me, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What God is saying is, it's not by our might. And it's not by our abilities, intelligence, wisdom, insight, experience. But God is wanting to do something in our midst that is by His power. Now let me tell you that I certainly appreciate all of the churches around the world that preach the gospel and win people to the Lord Jesus. That's a wonderful thing. But I believe so many churches are limited to their power, to their ability, to just doing things with good presentation and doing things with excellence and taking care of people and organization and strategy and all those things. And those things are wonderful. God's not against those things. But God is wanting to do things around the world with His power, by His Spirit. And the only way that that happens is by a group of people, a body of people, opening themselves up and saying, God, we don't want to just do the best we can with excellence. We want the power of the Holy Spirit to move in our midst. We want to know when we walk away that God was with us, that God was in our presence. And not only while we're together, but also as we're separated and we're apart and we're in our jobs and in our families, in our homes, that the power of God is with us, on us, in us, doing things. And so that's why the Lord is impressing me and impressing us, I believe, today, that we need to stay focused on the fact that He doesn't want us to do the best we can. He wants us to begin to function at His level of ability and not at our level. Amen. Does that make sense to you? Not by might. Say it with me. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And so as we're studying this subject on the power of the Spirit, the manifestations of the Spirit, understand that what God is calling us to here at the Rock is to function at a level to where God gets the glory, because everybody knows humans couldn't put that together. No amount of excellence, presentation, strategy, wisdom, preparation could have caused those things to happen. Those are supernatural things by God's power. And that's when God gets the glory. That's what we're after. Isn't that right? That's what we're after. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want us to read verses 7 through 11 together out loud. I'm reading from the New King James Version. If you have a different translation, that's okay. There are a lot of good translations out there. But for the sake of all reading the same words, if you don't have the New King James with you, then follow along on the screens so that we can all read together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's all read verses 7 through 11 together, reading loudly and together. Let's read. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Notice the emphasis. There's one Spirit that works these manifestations through each person. In other words, God does not have a desire for us to have church and Pastor Jerry have manifestations of the Holy Spirit, but nobody else does. Or maybe just some of the leaders do, but most of the body comes in and they're only recipients, but they're not those that are used to give manifestations or to operate with manifestations of the Spirit. It's very clear in Scripture that God wants all of us to, even when we gather and when we go our separate ways, to be ready prepared, filled with the Spirit, and available for the Holy Spirit to operate through us. That's the will of God. In fact, because of the passage of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and how Paul focuses a lot on the gathering together, many people would misunderstand that the gifts of the Spirit are primarily to happen in church. And I want you to know that as you track the manifestations of the Spirit through the Scripture, you'll find out that most, and I don't mean just barely most, I mean the lion's share, maybe 90% or more of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit that happen in Scripture happen outside of a church gathering. Sometimes it was in a synagogue, but it was after church was over. The service had already ended, and Jesus would do something. But sometimes it would be in the middle of a religious service, and they didn't like that a whole lot when it got interrupted by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that funny? Holy Spirit, not on the Sabbath, some of them would say. People shouldn't come to get healed on the Sabbath. There are other days to get healed, not on church day. Isn't that ridiculous? But it happens because of religion. But I want you to know and understand that the manifestations of the Spirit are to operate with you wherever you are, not just when we're all together in church. Now, we talked about the last session that we were studying this, the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. And let me give you a definition of the word of wisdom. In fact, we can put it up on the screen. Word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is supernatural advice or direction for the present or future based on God's knowledge of past, present, and future. Supernatural advice or direction for the present or the future based on God's knowledge of past, present, and future. Wouldn't it be great to make decisions based on what God knows? See, even what we know of the past and present isn't sufficient because we don't know everything about the past and present. And we don't know much about the future. But God knows all about the past, present, and future. And so when He gives a word or an utterance of wisdom, in other words, here's something to do. God says, do this or don't do this. Avoid this. We can avoid pitfalls and obstacles and problems in our lives. And many times the things that we go through, and we say, man, God, why did you do this to me? Or why did you allow this? God was probably trying to help us avoid many of those things. Now, I don't say all of those because a lot of the things, God wants us not to avoid it, but to go through it as a testimony to Him so that, people can see the deliverance that God brings through specific situations. He doesn't want us to go around everything. He wants us to have victory through some of these things. Amen. Is that right? The Bible says, knowing that the testing of our faith produces endurance and patience, and God gets glory out of it. He doesn't want us to give up ever, but to believe for victory in every situation. But I believe many of the things that we go through, God never intended us to go through those things. The Holy Spirit was trying to get our attention and trying to give us a word of wisdom. Don't do this. Avoid this. And we don't pay any attention to Him. We base it on logic and reason, and therefore we go through a lot more things than we ought to. Now, we talked a lot about this. I gave some scriptural examples and I gave some personal examples of word of wisdom. But I want to give one more. I remember we had done a conference on the power of the Holy Spirit in Portland, Oregon, my wife and I. And it was primarily for youth pastors and youth leaders. There were about 1,000 there. And some of them brought some of their youth with them to this conference. And we were talking about the manifestation and the power of the Holy Spirit operating in the gifts of the Spirit. And it was amazing how many stories we began to hear within the conference of the Holy Spirit manifesting Himself through these people. As well, not only the youth leaders, but also the teenagers. That was just outstanding to hear that some of these teenagers that came to this conference, not even knowing what the conference was about. The Holy Spirit began, because they opened their heart up, the Holy Spirit began to use them. See, operating in the power of the Holy Spirit is not based on how long you've been a Christian. And it's not based on how mature you are. There are some people that have a tremendous flow of the Holy Spirit in manifestation, but that doesn't speak at all to their maturity in the Lord. When you catch them outside of that situation, you realize they're not all that mature in the things of the Lord. But yet, the Holy Spirit is looking for open, available vessels to minister to people through. So just remember that just because somebody operates and has a manifestation of the Spirit flow through them, that does not mean that they're a highly mature Christian. Do you understand that? You need to know that. Because if you don't know that, you'll put a lot of stock in people instead of in the Lord and in the Word of God. Well, one young lady was named Summer. She was from North Carolina. And I believe we had met her in our travels doing camps and things, but I really didn't know her well. I did know her youth pastor quite well. And when the conference was over, they decided to take a red-eye flight, save some money, and they were flying, first of all, from Portland to Atlanta. So they waited for a long time. They got on this plane, and you know how red-eye flights are. Everybody pretty much shuts their lights off right away, finds the pillows and blankets, and begins to go to sleep. Well, the plane took off, and she was sitting there with her light on, with her Bible, and she was stirring about the Holy Spirit using her. And was saying, God, use me, Lord. I want to be used by you. And just going over, meditating on some of the things that we'd been over in the conference and that God had been doing in her. And while she was praying, a lady's face came into her heart, into her mind. And she'd seen that lady waiting to get on the plane. And as she was thinking about this lady's face, she didn't know who the lady was. The Holy Spirit began to let her know that this lady needed prayer. And that she needed to go pray for this lady. Well, you know, it's a plane. You know, they're on a plane. Everybody's trying to sleep. But she's getting this strong word from God. This lady needs prayer. You need to pray with this lady. And so she wrestled with it for a while. And finally she just decided, you know, I'm just going to go see if this lady's even back there or awake or whatever. And so she stands up. She looks around. She begins down the aisle toward the back of the plane. And lights are off. People are sleeping. And as she's approaching the back of the plane, she noticed there's one light on back there. Guess who's sitting under that light? It's that lady. And there's an empty seat right next to her. So she walks up. Now, I'm talking about a teenager now. I'm not talking about some experienced pastor. This is a teenage girl. And she goes and she plops down next to this lady. And the lady's sitting there under the light writing. And Summer looks at her and says, you know, I don't know why, but I just felt like God wanted me to pray for you. She didn't know what to say. The lady started crying. And then the lady started sobbing. And you're not supposed to do that on planes. Especially when people are sleeping. And so while she was sobbing, Summer just put her hand on her shoulder and just prayed. Didn't know what to pray, but just said, Lord, help her. And tried to pray some general things. And after the lady finished sobbing and gathering herself, here's what she said to Summer. She said, I'm in the worst place of my life. I'm pregnant. My boyfriend just left me. And I've got nobody. And I was just sitting here under the light, writing out the pros and cons of aborting this baby. She said, but now I know that God sent you and He doesn't want me to abort the baby. He wants me to keep my baby. And she went into sobbing again. Now, some people would say, wow, what a young lady. No, I mean, she is an outstanding young lady, but it wasn't her. Do you understand? It wasn't her intellect. It wasn't because she was very gracious or kind or had great manners or anything like that. She had no idea what was going on. And to look at this lady, you would never know all of that was going on. But how many of you know the Holy Spirit knows? Isn't that right? You could meet people with a big smile on their face and think everything is going well, but God knows what's in their heart, knows just what they need. And she didn't walk up and tell that lady, you're making a decision, and here's the decision God wants you to make. She just said, I feel like God wants me to pray for you. That's all she said. And it brought love to this lady's heart. Not only that, saved a life. Thank God. Thank God. Let me tell you, God wants to use you. And He just wants you to open up your heart and say, God, I don't know how, I don't know what, but there are things going on in people's lives, and you can use me. Just show me what to do. Is it intimidating? Yeah, it is sometimes. It absolutely is. But as we learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and to gently move forward, you'll be amazed at what God does through you. And it's supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that there are a lot of people that we run into, and we just know God wants to say something or to do something in them. And all we need to say is, you know what? Can I pray for you? You'd be surprised how many people would say yes if you asked. You may think they would say no, but you'd be surprised to know that the majority of people would say, yes, you can pray for me. And I suggest you don't do it in some weird religious way, but you just very gently. If you want to hold their hand And if it's opposite gender, I suggest you be very careful about how you do all that, because you could take the focus totally off God by doing it the wrong way. A lot of times I won't even touch somebody of the opposite sex unless it's in church, and I'll put my hand gently on their shoulder. But I'm very careful, because we want to keep the attention on the Lord Jesus all the time. And you have to be cautious about those things. But I believe there are people that we can just pray for, and in the middle of the prayer, the Holy Spirit will show you something, will speak something to you. You'll know something, and you'll be able to pray for them, and it will change their lives. I believe it. I know it. I've had it happen to me over and over, where I just felt like I needed to pray, and right in the middle of the prayer, God gives me something. Sometimes I'll just pray it, and I'll say, and Lord, I pray for that situation, and I'll describe it to whatever extent the Holy Spirit has shown me, and after the prayer, they'll say, how did you know that? And I don't say ESP. I say, you know what? Because I've got the Lord in my heart, and He shares things to help people. He wants you to know that He loves you and He knows what's going on. See, it's an opportunity. Amazing. Now let's talk about the word of knowledge for a little bit. Word of knowledge. Let me give you a definition. The word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is supernatural revelation of information about the past or present concerning a situation, event, or a person. Supernatural revelation of information. In other words, the Holy Spirit supernaturally reveals something to you that you couldn't know on your own. Word of knowledge. This is not based on experience. It is not based on gossip that you heard something through somebody and some would say, oh yeah, I heard this and I think the Lord was giving me a word of knowledge through that person to tell me what was going on because they heard from their uncle and they heard from their brother and so I heard through the grapevine and that was a word of knowledge. God got me the right knowledge. No, that's not a word of knowledge. Now, I'm not saying that God may not help you to get the right information through somebody. I'm just saying that if you're getting it from a human being, then that's not a word of knowledge to you to give to somebody else. It may be knowledge that you need to minister to somebody else with. But a word of knowledge is when the Holy Spirit manifests Himself. Let me say it. I think I said it a couple of weeks ago, but let me say it again. These are not manifestations of you or me. These are manifestations of the Holy Spirit, which means the knowledge that comes in a word of knowledge is not your knowledge. It's not something that you know or found out. It's something that the Holy Spirit knows that you don't know. You couldn't know because it's supernatural. Otherwise, if you already knew it, then what's the big deal? There's nothing supernatural about this. These are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. A word, by the way, notice it says a word of knowledge. It didn't just say gift of knowledge. Now, I hear some people incorrectly, and I don't think it's necessarily an intentional thing, but some people say the gift of wisdom, gift of knowledge. That's not what it says. It's a word of wisdom, which means this is verbal. A word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. See, if you're coming upon a situation, and we talked about being led by the Holy Spirit, and you have a sense that one decision is the right decision and the other decision is the wrong decision, that's not a word of wisdom. That's a sense. That's a witness of the Holy Spirit. And yes, thank God for the witness and the leading of the Holy Spirit. But a word of wisdom is a word of wisdom. Isn't that clear? A word of wisdom is something verbal that's given, an utterance that's given to define in words something that the Holy Spirit wants you to do. A word of knowledge is a word of knowledge. It's words that come from the Holy Spirit that reveal something that has gone on in the past or something that may be going on right now in the present. Word of knowledge. I've seen people have words of knowledge and in the middle of a big congregation just say, you right back there in the back. Driver's license number. Bam, 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 bam. Address. Bam, 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 bam. Phone number. Now, I've also seen and heard about people that did that as a scam. Had a little device in their ear. And they'd already asked questions from the audience. And they'll say, such and such a seat, this person has this and such situation. They're reading off the card and this person's here and in there acting like it's a word of knowledge. Let me tell you, God hates that stuff. Because that tells people that these things are not real. But these things are real. And there's no need to fake it when they're real. Isn't that right? In fact, if you did fake it, then your heart's not right with God. Why would you do that? How can you expect God's power to touch that person if you're faking? See, and so you just need to know that there are fakes out there, but there is a real. Don't let the fakes discourage you from the reality of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, because it is a real, real thing. Now, the word of knowledge, a word of knowledge, we've seen that all through Scripture. All through Scripture. Whenever knowledge is revealed supernaturally from God to a human being, that's a word of knowledge. Let me give an example. After the three main kings, the three beginning kings, which was Saul, David, and Solomon, because of Solomon, God ripped the kingdom away from the line of David, at least most of it, and Judah became the smaller part, and Israel became the larger part, and it was a divided kingdom now. Now, the first king that took over for Israel was a king named Jeroboam. And Jeroboam may have been the worst king ever in Israel. Now, there are others that seem to be somewhat worse in some regard, but I tell you why I think he may be the worst, because I think Jeroboam is the most listed king of Israel of all the kings, because after Jeroboam, any king of Israel that did evil in the sight of the Lord, and some of the kings of Judah that did evil, God would say, they did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the sin of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And Jeroboam continued to be listed generation after generation as being one who did evil in the sight of the Lord. Jeroboam was not following God. He was the king. Position doesn't mean you're following God. Does everybody know that? Just because you've got a position, that doesn't mean you're doing right before the Lord. Jeroboam was not doing right. But he got himself into these spots where he needed God's help. And so this one time, he decided that he was going to send his wife to the age-blinded prophet Ahijah. And listen to this. This prophet is by, because of age, blind, cannot see. But he still, just so not to take a chance, he tells his wife, I want you to disguise yourself and don't let anybody know that you're the king's wife, and go to the prophet and inquire of the prophet from the Lord and find out what we need to do in this situation. Well, so she disguised herself and she comes. By the time she got to the door of the prophet and comes in the doorway, the Lord had already revealed by word of knowledge to the prophet Ahijah that the wife of Jeroboam was coming. And so as soon as she walked in the door, he goes, hello, wife of Jeroboam. Couldn't even see her. He's blind. He couldn't see her. But the first thing he said, and she knew, I'm done. So you don't mess with the prophets of God. Did you know that? The Bible says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. You don't play games with God. And not only did Ahijah not give her good advice and good wisdom from the Lord, but he pronounced some negative curse things that were going to come upon them because of their ways. See, that's a word of knowledge that had been given. Now, another example is in 2 Kings chapter 6. When Syria was trying to come against Israel, and the king of Syria would get into a private quarters with his closest strategist and make decisions on their next maneuver. And Israel would somehow know what their maneuver was and outmaneuver them. And so the king of Syria called his close strategist in, and he said, I want to know who the rat is. Somebody's ratting us out. Somebody in this group is a mole. You're given information because Israel knows what's going on before we can ever get done what we were going to do. And one of them speaks up and says this. Oh, no, none of us. It's a little bit of a loose translation, but this is what he's saying. Oh, no, we're not rats. Not one of us. But there's a prophet over there named Elisha. And Elisha, because of God in his life, king, he knows what you're saying privately in your bedroom. What is that? Those are words of knowledge. The king gets in a strategy meeting and God shows the prophet what they're saying, what they're doing. And the prophet goes and tells the king, here's what they're going to do. And it turns out every time that's exactly what they were going to do. Word of knowledge. Word of knowledge has been happening all through the Bible. It's when God reveals things to you that have happened or are happening so that you can base what you do on God's knowledge. How many of you remember when Jesus went to the well, and there was a woman there, and he said, give me a drink. And she said, why do you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, to give you a drink? And Jesus said, and I love it when Jesus talks in the third person. He says, if you knew who it was who was asking you for a drink, you'd ask him, and he would give you living water. And she, of course, didn't have a clue what he's talking about. She said, you don't even have a bucket. How are you going to get any water? You can't get any water. And Jesus said, you know, if you drink from this water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink from the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. She goes, oh, good. Give me some of that water so then I don't have to come to the well and draw water anymore. She is absolutely clueless about what he's talking about. But somehow Jesus, in these conversations, he'll just keep talking. He'll just go down the road. So she says, well, go ahead and give me a drink of living water. And guess what he gave her? A word of knowledge. He said, go call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. Good looking guy. Maybe he was. Maybe he wasn't. And he said, that's right. You don't have a husband. But you have had five husbands. And there's a guy you're shacking up with right now that's not your husband. And she said, I perceive that you're a prophet. She's sharp, huh? Isn't she quick? I mean, she's bright. What was that? That was a word of knowledge. Jesus said, I'll give you living water. You remember that many times he would talk about the living water as the Holy Spirit. He gave her a word of knowledge. And you know what happened? She went and said, come and meet a man that told me everything I ever did. He didn't tell her everything she ever did, but it felt like it to her. She is filleted open. He sees everything. He knows everything. And he didn't, but he knew that. He knew enough. He had enough knowledge by the power of the Holy Spirit to let her know God's got your number. He knows exactly who you are and what's going on. She brought the whole town out, and the whole town listened to him. And pretty much the whole town believed in Jesus as well as her because of a word of knowledge. Are you listening to me? We need these. Is that right? We need these. And here Paul is telling us, the church, in this day and age, this is a manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can know that God is moving, and plus so that we can move based on His knowledge. These words are very important. I've told you before, the very first time that I can remember that the power of the Holy Spirit worked through me was in the mid-80s, and I was at a camp, a junior high camp. And after the service was over, most of the junior hires were out at the snack bar, but there were still a few in that were being prayed for, and the music was still playing. And I looked across the almost vacant auditorium and saw a junior high girl that was not from our church. I did not know who she was. And when I looked over and saw her inside, I heard this word, Father. One word. That was a literal word of knowledge. That's all I got. I got one word, Father. And so I've told you the story. I walked over to her, I introduced myself, and I asked her, how's your relationship with your dad? And she started crying. That was what was on her heart. She'd gotten into a big fight with her dad before she went to camp, and it was eating at her during camp. And she said, I can't even have fun because of this. And I was able to minister to her, and she called her dad and got everything reconciled, and it was just a wonderful thing. But see, it's a word of knowledge. I wasn't able to walk up and say, here's what's going on. You had a fight with your dad. I didn't get all that. I got one word, Father. That's all I got. And let me tell you, here's something very important. If you get a word from God, don't give a paragraph. You just give the word. And sometime that word can come in the form of a question, like I did with her. How's your relationship with your dad? See, I'm just probing a little bit because I don't know what father means. I knew she wasn't a father. But I don't know what father means, see? But that changed that girl's experience at camp. And how many of you know God cares about that? See, if you're selfish, the manifestations of the Spirit working through you won't mean a lot because they don't help you. Unless you're prideful and you're trying to become spiritually known and trying to minister the Spirit so that people will know you, that's pride. And people will soon find out that you're about you. And you'll lose credibility, and then people won't want to listen to you anymore, even if you've got the Holy Spirit working with you. But see, love will cause you to say, God, I need the Holy Spirit to work through me because there are hurting people around me, and I want to be used by you to minister to those people. Kimberly, a lot of times, will get up on a weekend service and she'll call out different things. She's called out somebody having a pain or some kind of a problem with their little finger. You think, well, why would you take time for that? Because God wants to show somebody that he loves them and cares about the little things. But we've also called out cancer and seen cancer and tumors disappear. Word of knowledge. Now, what would happen if we never called those things out? Well, I believe many times those things wouldn't be cured and healed because that person didn't get that knowledge that God knows what's going on with you and he wants to heal you. And those things bring confidence and faith to people. They bless people. Now, let's talk for just a couple of minutes about one more, and that's the discerning of spirits. We're going to skip down a little bit. Discerning of spirits. Write that down. Let me give you a definition for discerning of spirits. Supernaturally seeing or distinguishing the presence or activities of spirits, demonic or heavenly. Supernaturally seeing or distinguishing the presence of or activities of spirits, demonic or heavenly. How many of you remember with Elisha, the king of Syria, found out that Elisha was getting all the inside information on him. And so he brought his troops down and surrounded Elisha. How many of you remember that story? And Elisha's servant got up in the morning, came out to stretch out of the tent and goes, oh no, he's surrounded by the army of Syria. A lot of people. And he went back in and he told the prophet, we got a big problem. While we were sleeping, the army of Syria came surrounding us. And Elisha said, there are more with us than with them. You remember that? And you could imagine the servant going, one, two. You're bad at math. Right? And Elisha prayed, God, open his eyes so that he can see. And the Bible says that God opened the eyes of the servant of the prophet, and he saw the valleys, the mountains filled with horses and chariots of fire. And the Bible says they were surrounding Elisha. That servant was standing in the right place next to Elisha. Because even though, how many of you believe that when God opened this servant's eyes, that's when those horses and chariots appeared? No, they were there before. Is that right? They were already there. Elisha knew. We just assume that he saw them, but the Bible doesn't say he saw them. He very well could have been just operating by faith. He knew God was protecting him. And he said, God, open the servant's eyes so that he can see. And the servant saw all of these heavenly hosts, spiritual warriors, surrounding Elisha to protect him. Didn't matter how big the king's army was from Syria, God's army was right there. Let me tell you, if we could see the spirit realm, you would see that the angels around you are well able to protect you and to keep you. Did you know that? You would be able to see that when you said, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I resist you, you would see him move backwards. You would see him begin to change his course of action against you. But because you can't see it, you have to do it by faith. But discerning of spirits is when God, by the power and manifestation of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit wills, will reveal and show things going on in the spirit realm so that we'll know what's happening. Now, let me tell you, this is one that I can never remember happening with me. I have never seen into the spirit realm. I have had words of knowledge, though, where God will reveal what spirit is dealing with a person. I have had that. And some people would call that discerning of spirits if somebody has a spirit of lust or something. You know, I have had the Holy Spirit say some things to me about a certain person, a spirit that's attacking them, oppressing them, possessing them maybe. But I believe that's a word of knowledge. But a lot of people would put that under the category of discerning of spirits. I don't think it really matters. It's all the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? It really doesn't matter. It's the Holy Spirit revealing these things to us. But I tell you what, it's important. How many of you remember Balaam's donkey that spoke? Remember that story? Do you remember why the donkey wouldn't move forward, and Balaam was whipping this donkey and kicking this donkey and trying to get the donkey to move? The reason the donkey would not move forward is because the donkey's eyes had been opened to see an angel with a sword drawn in front of him. And Balaam didn't see it. So listen to this. That donkey had discerning of spirits. Is that right? Because animals can't see into the spirit realm normally. They'd be freaked out all the time. But God opened, first of all, the eyes of this donkey to see this angel of God with a drawn sword, and the donkey wouldn't go run into him. And Balaam's kicking that donkey, and finally God opens the mouth of the donkey, and the donkey says, "Why are you kicking me? Why are you beating me? Haven't I been a good donkey?" And the funny thing is, Balaam talks back, "Yeah, but this man starts talking back to him." That's the funniest part of the whole thing. And then God opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel, and he goes, "Oh!" Because now he understands. Let me tell you, if our eyes could be opened to the spirit realm with what's going on, we could properly handle a lot of things going on in our life. But because we assume it's logical, and because we assume that it's natural, we're functioning with natural methods to try to take care of spiritual problems. How many of you remember that Jesus came across a lady that was bent over for 18 years? She couldn't raise herself up. She had a problem. She was bent over. You could take her to every doctor you want, and they could tell you how the discs may be fused and how there was damage down there, and they could give you all of the medical, physical reasons why this lady was bowed over and couldn't raise herself up. But you know what Jesus said? And the Bible commented and said, Jesus met a woman who had, listen, a spirit of infirmity. Now, you couldn't see the spirit, but the Bible says she had a spirit of infirmity. And Jesus laid hands on her. He said, "Woman, you're loose." Laid hands on her. She was raised up and healed. And then they got upset because it was the Sabbath. And Jesus said this. He said, "Hey, listen. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, be healed? Whom Satan has bound." Think of it, for 18 years. Who bound her? Satan. It wasn't just a back problem. Are you listening to me? Satan had bound this lady. And so Jesus came and took authority over Satan and what he was doing, and the lady's physical problem was healed. So you need to understand, we need the discerning of spirits so that we can understand some of the root causes in people's lives. You remember that epileptic kid that Jesus ran into? And he was foaming at the mouth. The disciples tried to cast the demon out, couldn't do it. And the father came to Jesus, "Please help me, your disciples couldn't do it. But my son throws himself into the water to drown himself, into the fire to kill himself with fire. Please help him." And Jesus came up, and the kid has an epileptic seizure, severely epileptic. And Jesus, listen, if you look at Mark 9's account, Jesus said, "You deaf and dumb spirit." Called the spirit deaf and dumb spirit. What is that? There's discerning of spirits going on. You can't see those spirits. But somehow Jesus identifies exactly what spirit this is. "You deaf and dumb spirit, come out of him." And the boy was cured of epilepsy as well as the demon possession. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So many, many times we attribute the problem only to the natural things that we can see and identify, and doctors will do everything that they can and can't get it solved. And so many times, now not all the time, but I'm saying so many times, it's not a physical thing. There's a spiritual thing behind it, but without the Holy Spirit letting us know what spirits we're dealing with and how to deal with those spirits, then we can't get those physical things, sometimes financial things, resolved. Did you know that there's an enemy that comes against finances in our lives? What did Jesus say? The thief does not come except to what? What's the first thing? Steal. Is that right? You can work harder, get a second job, do anything you want to, try to get your way up. But if you don't recognize the spiritual things and have the Lord help with discerning of spirits to understand how to deal with the spiritual problem, you'll be stolen from. And you'll find out, have you ever gotten to where You're ahead and you think, I'm doing good now. I'm getting ahead. I'm caught up and I'm moving forward. And then all of a sudden, you don't know what happened. It just dissolved. Something, the car broke down, this and that happened. Little things and it's gone. And you think, what in the world happened? Well, didn't the Bible say in Malachi 3, if for the tithers, that God said, "I will rebuke the devourer"? Is that right? The devourer? See, if you don't identify the spiritual problems behind the natural, then you'll only take care of things cosmetically, surface level. We need these things, don't we? We need these things. Let me close with this. One of the stories I heard after the conference we did in Portland back in 1996 is one of the teenagers who had come from Montana with a small group of teenagers and their leaders. During the conference, in one of the services, she looked over and she saw on the back of one of her friends a little dark creature. She saw it. She saw it. So later on, she didn't say anything right then. Kind of freaked her out a little bit. But later on, she was talking to her friend and she says, have you been having some spiritual problems? I mean, have you been kind of having some problems with your relationship with God and such? And the girl goes, yeah, why? Well, because, you know, like it's no big deal. Yeah, because in one of the services, I looked over and I saw this dark little creature on your back. You did? And she said, yeah. She said, that's why I wanted to ask you if you've been. She goes, yeah, I feel something. I've been feeling this thing on me, and I didn't know what it was. And so they prayed over her and tried to get her delivered from that spirit. And I remember I heard the story, and I was excited, and I knew they'd prayed over her and everything. I was excited that God was moving by manifestation of the Spirit. I'd never had that happen. I was excited to hear a teenager. And the reason I love it is because it wasn't somebody real mature, walking with the Lord for a long time, so that everybody could know the Holy Spirit wants to move through us. But that summer, in 1996, we were on our travels. We went to Montana to do a camp. And when I got to the camp, I found out that both of these girls were at the camp. And so I said, I want to meet these girls. And so I met the one that had seen, and she told me all about it, and it was just like I had heard. And then they said, now the other one, it was after a service, the other one's in this other prayer room, she'd like you to come pray for her, because she'd heard me at the conference. And so I went in there, and I began to talk to her, and I said, hey, you're the one that they saw. Yeah, I'm the one. I said, now did that thing leave? No. How do you know? I feel it. I just feel it. I said, well, did they pray for you? Yeah. Did they command it to leave? Yeah. But it's still there. Yeah, it's still there. Now, we're just talking about a teenager now. Listen, you don't think spiritual things are real? Just talk to some folks. Weird things happen. You understand? You don't have to just take the Bible's word for it. I'm telling you, there's stuff that goes on that is unexplainable in any other way than with the spirit realm. And so I began to ask her some questions. I said, let me ask you something. Is there anything going on in your life that you're out of line with God? Are you walking in rebellion? No. So I mean, any sin that you've committed, you've confessed that to the Lord and received forgiveness? Yeah. So you can't think of anything that you're doing in your life on an ongoing basis, not just making a mistake somewhere and messing up, but on an ongoing basis, something that you continue to do that you know is wrong? Well, yeah. What is it? I sneak out at night without my parents knowing. And I go to parties. And I know it's wrong. And I know my parents wouldn't want me to do it. That's why I sneak out. I said, and you know that that's wrong before the Lord? Yeah. And you keep doing it? Yeah. I said, did you know that's called rebellion? No. And I said, did you know the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft? See, the Bible says don't give place to the devil. And so many times, because of our attitudes and our actions and our words, we give place to the devil and allow him to come in. But how many of you know, just because we've allowed him to come in, that doesn't mean we can't get him back out. Is that right? Amen. But I don't care how much I rebuked and prayed, even if that thing did leave initially, her lifestyle of rebellion would just open the door right back. And the Bible says, Jesus taught us, that a lot of times he'll come back with 7 other demons more wicked than himself. Isn't that what the Bible says? So I told her, if you want to be free, you need to repent of that. Walking in rebellion. And so we sat right there and she repented. There was somebody else in the room with us. And she sat right there and she began to repent. God, sorry, forgive me. I won't do it anymore. I'll get it straightened out with my parents and everything. I said, all right. And then in the name of Jesus, I commanded that demon to leave. And after I'd prayed that, and it was just, maybe 10 or 15 seconds, she broke out into, have you ever heard somebody have a combination of laughing and crying at the same time? She broke out in this laughter cry. And I said, did you feel it leave? Happiest girl on earth right there. Been delivered from demonic oppression. You understand what I'm talking about? But it started, that deliverance started by a teenager opening herself to the Lord and the Lord showing her something. Now let me just say one more thing and we're going to close. Just because the Holy Spirit reveals something to you doesn't mean you need to run and talk about it. Sometimes you need to pray. Be led by the Spirit and walk in love and do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Just because you see something or know something about a person doesn't mean you need to say it in front of everybody. What would you want? Would you want everybody to be in on that? Then don't do it to anybody else. But I received it in front of everybody else. It doesn't make any difference. Walk in love. Always try to be sensitive to the person so that the person walks away having been ministered to by the Spirit, enjoying that and not saying, I never want that embarrassment to happen again. Amen? You understand that? Father, thank you for your word today.